Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I want to welcome each and every one of y'all for listening to me today. Our key thing that we're going to talk about today is are you living with two faces? So basically what we're going to be talking about is, are you being one person in front of folks and a different person behind closed doors, or how you really think? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But we're going to go right into Psalms 91. I always like to start out with a daily word or something, you know, in Psalms that kind of brings the Spirit of God within the show and where He can really work within the show. Psalms 91 is my favorite Psalms, Psalms 91. Everybody else has their own different Psalms, but Psalms 91 is my favorite. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that strike in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys in midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lions and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent, because he loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I sanctify him and show him my salvation. So that was the 91st Psalm. And we're going to read out of Acts 1 through 8. Acts 1 through 8. This here is going to be talking about, you know, when Jesus was taken up and he came down to talk to his disciples, and he was telling what was for them to be prepared for. It's when the Holy Spirit, when he promised the Holy Spirit was going to come down and make him to be able to speak to all nations, speak the word of God to all nations through tongue, through speaking of tongue. So let's start with Acts 1, verse 1. Okay. In my former book, to Samuel, I wrote about all Jesus began to do to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he gave and chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to those men who gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God on the occasion. While he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with the water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked the Lord, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time and dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but for you to receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be with my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So we're going to stop right there today. We'll read the rest of it Saturday. But what he's speaking about there, when he rose from the dead, and he was going to be with them for 40 days or so on like that, he was speaking to them about the kingdom, what was going to happen to them, how the church was going to be set up. He was speaking to them in details how the church was going to be set up and letting them know that the Holy Spirit comes among them. There's many different things about the Holy Spirit. There's many different, I'd say, other religious things that people talk about receiving the Spirit, how the Spirit it reboots you for God. It opens you up for God. You're a lot more of an open channel when the Holy Spirit comes among you. When you're hanging around with somebody that's filled with the Spirit, that Spirit rubs off on you. If you're around a bunch of Christian folks or a bunch of people that really has the Holy Spirit that's really living within them, a lot of people say, you know, in the church that when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. That can be true, but it could be that it's not fully awakened yet. See, a fully awakened, it's hard to explain this to a point, because a lot of people can see, don't understand things about this. And if if you have been in Spirit, if you've had the Holy Spirit open within you, you know the difference. You know the difference. People get healed around you. You receive information from God personally in your mind. All type of things. You just know things. A lot of people say, well, you've got to hear the audio of God's voice, and you got to hear this, and you got to hear that. That's not always necessary, I don't think. But I believe I believe God is within us. Everything in the open is the outside, the separation lock thing. God can speak in audio. If he knows that you'll receive in audio, that means you can hear on the outside like somebody's talking to you. Or he can speak to you within you. But most people that I have heard about, and that what I've received things coming downloaded. I just know things. When God speaks to me or he shows me things in my mind's eyes, it's not like a big picture in front of me. And I have saw little things like that, which God knows a lot of those things I probably could handle, but back years ago if I saw something like that, I probably went running. But it's just what you can handle, what you can put up with. A lot of people, if something just reappeared in front of them, they probably run or pass out. And there's some people can handle it, like, cool, do that again, you know. And the disciples and so on, and the people that he witnessed to could handle that. But there's many different ways that God can interact with you. But I'm going to go back to the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes within you, you're open to receive these things. You can see things of spirit. You can recognize things of spirit. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you don't have that connection. Let me rephrase this. Everybody has the Holy Spirit live that is turned off within them, but it takes God to turn that Holy Spirit back on for you to be fully open to the Lord, to God. Everybody has a part of God in them, no matter whether you're saved or what. He lives there, but you've got walls around you where he can't see. But when you receive Christ, he comes in and turns the whole network back on and plugs you in close, you know, plugs you into him. And then you receive all these things. Then you receive the blessings. You receive the healing. The healing flows through you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It works through you. God is able to reconnect or fully reconnect to you because you thought you were separate. He was always connected to you, but you just turned your fillers off, whatever you want to call it. You just turned off where you couldn't receive him. You couldn't see him and this and that. But he turns all those switches back on because you asked for him to be turned back on. You accepted Christ in your life. And he sends the full, it's just like, okay, how can I explain this? You know, like when you've got an internet problem or something, you know, and then you download a program into your computer to fix your computer. It's like if you download this, my web thing will come through your computer and fix all your problems in your computer, and somehow it sends a signal through your computer. It fixes all the technical problems. Before you know it, your computer is working great. It's like, man, all the files is empty, this and that. That's what Jesus does. He comes in with you, his Holy Spirit, to clean your computer where you can be fully connected to God again. So you just clean your computer is what he's doing. So before he came, you was like all clogged up with sin and all the things you done, and he came and cleaned all that up for you. His grace and his blood came and cleaned all that up for you. And that's what he basically does. He just rekindles you and returns your computer on where you can be connected to God. So that's what he's going to do. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to fully awaken them, to fully reconnect them to God where they could receive all this information or to fully live within them. He's going to send, a lot of people has a spirit, but their full divine childhood spirit is not in them yet. It's like they're like a remote control car for their divine childhood or divine selves, but they're not living in there. But when Jesus sends you, there are so many different things biblically. It talks about you're in heaven, but you're not here on earth. And it gets very, very technical. There's a lot of things that a lot of folks probably couldn't understand. I'm starting to understand things about the spirit realm and about how heaven works and how you are and all this and that. But I ain't going to go into it today because there's a lot of folks that ain't ready for all that yet. But anyway, you receive the Holy Spirit. It comes within you and opens up your Holy Spirit to be connected with his Holy Spirit, and then you live in harmony. So you're fully connected back to God The part of God that is in you connects to the full part of God, and you're fully one with God, put to you that way. And then God could send his messages. He could work through you. He can, you know, use you in a way that you was meant to use. You was actually designed to house the Spirit of God. God, you was designed for God to walk in your feet, walk with you, to walk for you, to reflect himself through you. So when Christ was sent down and you accepted him, he was able to start working through you as he wanted to. The more you walk with God, the more you read in the Scripture, the more you spend that precious time with the Lord, the more you will see things change in your life. You will see dark things just disappear from you. You will see people get healed around you. You just stay in that glory all the time, and you'll see things change. But I'm going to get out of that right now, and I'm going to get into, are you living with two faces? Okay. Do you go to church and you see yourself as acting holy, then when you get home, you're a completely different character? Okay. That is an indication that you're basically not walking with the Lord that much. You're just there for an hour and then you back to your old self. That's where it takes that communication. There's a lot of people doing that, and I'm not going to point fingers because we've all done that. We've all got away from the Lord for a while, and then our old sinful selves comes back. And a lot of people enjoy their sinful selves, but in the long run, it's condemning them. It's destroying their lives. It's, you know, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong. I mean, there's things wrong with cursing and going on and doing a lot of negative things, but there's nothing wrong hanging out with your friends and picking and going on, but when you're cussing and you're swearing, that's connecting you from God. I can hang out with my friends and I can pick and go on and not curse. I don't have to curse. And that there's just different things. And don't get me wrong, I've did some bad things. I've had a word or two fly out that I didn't realize that I picked up from work or something like that. But you correct yourself and know what you're doing wrong, and then go forward with the right thing. But what I'm saying is, are you going to church acting one way, and you come home, you're a completely different person? The biggest thing you need to do is get into the Word, get into a practice of a religious ritual. Do your prayer every night. Speak to the Lord as much as you can. You don't have to go and fall down in the middle of the ground. That's fine if you want to do that. But just keeping a connection with the Lord, because the more you stay with his glory, the more you stay with his grace, it will change you. And you will start seeing that the person at church and the person at home will start changing. You'll start looking more like the person at church. And I'm not saying that you got to go chase people with the Bible and beat them over the head. You don't have to do that. It has nothing to do with being a Christian. Well, you can. that has nothing to do with being a Christian. You won't beat somebody over the head with the Bible and saying, screaming at them, they're doing this wrong and that, because you're going to chase them away. You're chasing people away from the kingdom, and Christ does not like it. God does not like it. He really refers you, wants you to be more loving to folks, to bring people into the kingdom with love, not with fear and hatred. Okay. There's many instances or many different situations where that is used for people. It's very negative. It's very hatred. And it takes a little kick of that to get them going in the right direction. But then God fills them with love and shows them what they're doing right. There's some people it's directed in a certain way. And love can be, you know, given to them, and it restores them. There's some people, they're just so fed up with love and all this and that they don't understand love. They don't understand. They've never really understood what love is. Love is unconditional. It's agape love, like I spoke about my grandfather at his funeral. Somebody is unconditionally loved. That's what Jesus was. He's unconditionally loving us because he died. He knew what he had to do to save us, right? That's agape love. So real love, God's love, is agape love. He loves you no matter what you've done, no matter how you screwed up. He still loves you. He laughs and goes on, and he loves you. He's like, son, please come back to me. Okay, or a dollar, please come back to me. He loves you more than you can ever think of. and he forgives you. You just ask him, say, Lord, please forgive me, cleanse me. He'll do it. And I was speaking to a guy the other day, and I was saying, it's so simple to receive Christ. It's the only thing you do is say, please, Lord, take all my sins, all my stuff. I give it to you freely, and I ask to receive your Holy Spirit. Please send me the Holy Spirit now, Lord. And then when you do that, it ain't like that you're hiding from him, because he already knows your ordeal. He knows your situation. He knows what's going on with you. The problem is you don't know. You don't understand your problems. You don't understand what you're doing. A lot of people live in sin and don't really know that they're living in sin, because it's normal, everyday thing, but till they're showed what they're doing, and then they give it to the Lord. It ain't that the Lord is smearing it in their face. It's like they've got to see to fix. You've got to see to give to God. If you don't know what your problem is, you can't give it to God, and he can't clean it for you. It's just like when you're cleaning a program and you don't put in, you want your cookies cleaned out. If you don't want your cookies cleaned out of your computer, how can it clean it out? So you've got to tell him what your problem is. He knows your problem. It's like audio from your mouth has got to be spoken for him to receive to clean that out. So, you know, see what your problem is. See what people is reflecting to you. Or am I cussing a lot? Am I, you know, committing adultery? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Do I, you know, say things out of line? Lord, help me with that. Cleanse that from my soul. Take that now, Lord. And then when you ask it, he grabs it and he starts working on you. And you start seeing the person at home looking more like the person at church. So, and second of all, always be genuine. Always be genuine. Never be somebody that you ain't, because if you're doing that, you're living a lie. You're living a lie. And that's one thing about, I say, some things that goes in my life. I've always been up front with folks. Sometimes I try to not be as up front, because I have a time of, you know, telling you what I think. It's just truthfulness. I mean, I look at somebody, you know, if they don't want to know the truth, don't ask me, because I will tell you it. But it's just part of truth that's in you. When you have truth in you, you're going to speak the truth no matter what it is. I mean, you don't want to hurt nobody, but if you want to know the truth, you got to know the truth to help you fix yourself. If people keep on telling you lies, well, your hair looks great, but really it's messed up, and you're going around looking like a fool in front of folks. If people keep on telling you that, and you really look like a clown, wouldn't you want somebody to say, hey, your hair's messed up, you need to fix it up, because people's talking about you? You know, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but, you know, you might need to do something about that. Yeah, I would. I don't want somebody to tell me that my clothes are messed up or whatever. Please, you know, you might need to fix your collar. You might need to fix your pants. Something's wrong there. You need to zip up your pants, which a lot of us guys have that problem. You know, just out of the restroom, and it just, you know, somehow just got left open. Everybody's looking at you, and, you know, hey, you need to fix that. Thank you, sir. You know, something like that. You've got to be corrected. You have to be corrected with your problem, because if you're not, you will never know your situation. So, you know, if you got problems at home, your wife tells you, you know, you're doing too much of this, listen to her. Ask the Lord to help you with that, and he will cleanse that from you. He will show you the right way. Get into the Scripture. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in the Scripture to help you straighten your situation out. So that's one of the main things. Always ask the Lord to help you out. Try to make yourself at home look more like yourself at church. And the only way you can do that is stay in God's glory. And when I mean stay in God's glory, I don't mean staying at church every second of the day. I'm meaning pray to God, talk to God, have that sacred space in your house that you pray. Always have that sacred place in your house that you pray, just beside your bed, in the living room with the TV turned off, you're speaking to the Lord. Do that. If you don't understand how to pray, go through the Bible and look up the Lord's Prayer. And he will guide you. You can start with the Lord's Prayer. Let's see if I can find the Lord's Prayer. I'm going look in here for you and see if I can find it. There's a lot of ministers that
has all these scriptures memorized, okay? I'm more of a spiritual teacher and a minister, so spirits, you know, God speaks through me most of the time, and I use scriptures just to back blot stuff up. So a lot of times, I don't got all these things memorized. I've had a lot of folks, you know, I'll start speaking to them, and everything that I'm speaking to them comes out of the Bible because it's the same. But it's coming out in my words. But I'm going to look for the Lord's Prayer in here. And I can tell you the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to try to tell you a place you can go buy it. The parable. But the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our day, our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the Lord's Prayer you can say when you need to say it. And when you say this, that's a very strong prayer that Jesus taught back in the day when he was trying to teach the disciples how to pray. And they asked, they said, Lord, how do we pray? And he quoted them the Lord's Prayer. And that was a very strong prayer for them at that time. And then after they learned that, it taught them many different things how to pray to God, because they saw Jesus pray to God so many different times. And it was very amazing how he had his communication with God so much. It was so many times that they went up and saw Jesus, and they saw angels just hanging out with him. He's sitting there just chilling out with the angels. And one time they went up on the mountain and saw Jesus with Moses. It was more of a see-through guy, but they saw him with Moses and said, let me cast a tent for you and Moses where he can, you know, stay the night. And they're like, after that, Moses just disappeared, and a lot of the people that was there with Jesus just disappeared because he was speaking to them in spirit and just brought them right into him. And it was an amazing thing. But go to Matthew's, and I wasn't going to talk to you about the Lord's Prayer today, but to a lot of people that I've already hunted it up and already had it ready for boot if I was going to teach about it. But just look for the Lord's Prayer, and I'll find it for you by Saturday, and I'll give you the verse and where you can find that. I'm looking through it now and seeing if I can find the Lord's Prayer and teaching him how to pray. Should be right up here. I don't got much time left. I got 1 minute. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go and say a prayer for y'all. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come upon the folks that listen to my radio show today. I ask you to bless them, heal them. I ask you to heal Miss Thomas and Miss Simpson. I ask you to put your grace upon them and all the folks that are on the radio station. I ask you to put your grace upon them and heal all their needs. Answer their prayers to each individual's needs. I ask you to put your grace, reveal your Holy Spirit to the ones that's not saved. And I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for doing this. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll have the Lord's Prayer for you next week and tell you the verse. Or you can look in Matthew and John yourself and find it. But like I said, if I was... Okay, I found it. It's Luke 11. It's Luke 11 through Luke 11, 1 through 12. Luke 11, 1 through 12. Jesus teaches on prayer. Luke 11, 1 through 12. So there you go. I found it. So just go to your Bible, look up Luke, go to Luke 11 and read 1 through 12, and it'll teach you all about the Lord's Prayer. And I hope y'all have a very good week.
or rest of the weekend, or starting of the weekend, however you want to see it. And I'll see you Saturday, and we'll be talking next week. God bless you all. Bye.